yesterday was the comments of the Ran and the Ramban on the question of whether or not this is a psik reisha. In the case, the Gemara has the kasha balom mitzareis. In other words, you have a case of a kettle that you removed its water, and it says in the Mishnah that you may pour mayim merubim kedei lahashiran. Your purpose is not to cook the water, it's just simply to make it warm. So the question is, v'alo mitzareis, what about the fact that in so doing, you're doing a malacha of tzivus? And that Gemara responds, Rav Shimon, he, the Amar Davash in Miskavin Mutter, that the Mishnah follows Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's Shita is Davash in Miskavin is Mutter, your intention is not to do tzivus, and therefore, there's no problem. Abaye learns different pshat in the Mishnah. Abaye learns that the Mishnah is talking about it mecham, that you did not remove its contents. And that's where the Mishnah distinguishes between mayim muatim, which is aser, mayim merubim, which is mutter. But the diuk of the Mishnah therefore would suggest that were you to talk about a case of mecham, that you pina mimenu mayim, there would be aser no matter what. Because in fact, the Mishnah therefore goes like Rav Yehuda, Davash and Miskavin is aser, the iser would be tzivus. The question is, but Rav Shimon would hold that we mutter, because Davash and Miskavin. We know, very often the Gemara tells us, Rav Shimon is moded by psik reisha. So just because it's Davash and Miskavin, it doesn't automatically make it mutter. There's a Davash and Miskavin of psik reisha, which is aser even for Rav Shimon. The Tosa simply tells us, it's not a psik reisha. That's what you have to assume. And so the Gemara's kasha never was mitzarif vaday, valo mitzarif. It's possible that's mitzarif, and the answer is Rav Shimon is not here by Davash and Miskavin. Why is it not a psik reisha? So the Ran explained, because efshe shelo yagia letziruf. It's possible that tziruf will not come about because the water inside the kettle prevents the outside of the kettle from getting that hot. And of course, for tziruf to happen, you have to have the heat to be very, very strong, very intense. So the hotter that the kettle is and the colder that the water is, the more certain is the fact that tziruf will happen, will result. And here, it's not definite that tziruf will happen because the water inside the kettle keeps the temperature low. That's how the Ran answers. The Ramban and the Mochamos brings the same question. First, he cites the answer of the Ravid. The Ravid's answer is that in Achinami, it is a psik reisha, but there is Abaye, initially Abaye at one time thought that psik reisha doesn't matter. Even with psik reisha, Davash and Miskavin is mutter. Okay, we'll see more of the context of that sheet of Abaye in the Sugyan later on, Kuflam and Gimel. Therefore, that's the Pshat in this Gemara. Rav Shimon, according to Abaye, that even Sik Reisha is Mutter. The Ramban, therefore, doesn't like it. He says the Gemara should right away jump on this and say, but it's a Sik Reisha. So how, what have you gained, Rav Shimon? It's a Sik Reisha. Because we know that Sik Reisha is different for Rav Shimon. So therefore, the Ramban says that it's not a Sik Reisha. The Ramban says two things. Says the Ramban first, Tziruf de Mecham Rab Sikresha, who Shema lo higia le Tziruf, Afapisha Nischamim Harbe, Shamaim Shahayubo, Monim Osa. So the Ramban seems to be saying very similar to the Ran. He says it's not a Sikresha because it's Shema lo higia le Tziruf. Interesting though, there's one little diuk you could make in the Lashon of the Ramban versus that of the Ran. Anyone pick up on it? What is the slight diuk in the Lashon? I want to come back to this soon. What's the Lashon of the Ramban? Shema lo higia letzira. What's the Lashon of the Ran? Shema efsher shelo yagia letzira. Okay, notice that? We'll see. I don't know whether we'll be able to make much of this or not, but it's interesting. I mean, ultimately, the question is, right? Is it certain that tziruf will result here in this situation? So we're saying that it's not certain. Why isn't it certain? Because the mayim keeps the temperature down. The mayim, having been in the mecham, keeps the temperature down. Therefore, it's not certain that tziruf will result when you pour the cold water in. That's the first answer of the Ramban, similar to that of the Ran. Then the Ramban adds another point. Vishema or O Shema Kfar Nitzraf Kodim Shinasa Kli V'Achshav Ein Tzir Zet Tikun Lo. Another reason why it's not a Psik Resha is because it is conceivable that this Kli already underwent the process of Tziruf. Kfar Nitzraf Kodim Shinasa Kli V'Achshav Ein Tzir Zet Tikun Lo. In other words, if this material already underwent Tziruf, then it wouldn't, nothing more would be achieved if the tziruf happens again. The ma'aseh tziruf doesn't do anything if it was already mitzuraf. Yeah, so that's the second. Now, what's interesting here, of course, in the second answer of the Ramban, is this very but well-known issue of the Taz and the Kiveger and the Bir Halacha, right? By now everyone has, I'm sure, seen it. Very interesting issue. Typically, when we talk about a case of Davashen Miskavein and Sikresha, let's take the case of Chavitz, right? Of a Gerera, a person schlepping a chair, and he wants simply to schlep the chair from one place to the other. But the possibility exists that Chavitz will take place. His intention is not Chavitz, Gerera. Davashen Miskavin. It could happen that Chavitz will result. If Shimon says, it's okay, mutter. Your intention is not to do chavisha. Your intention is just greater. Sikresha, let's perhaps envision a case that it's inevitable that there's going to be a chavisha. So what does it mean? That shlep in such a way, right, and it's inevitable, it's going to happen. So that means that the malacha is going to happen in the future. It's inevitable that it will happen. To say it's not a psik resha is to say it's not inevitable that it will happen in the future. Yeah?
Clarify, when we say that it's inevitable, not inevitable that it will happen, is that to say that...
Let's go slow. So what do we have here in the case of the Bir Halacha? The case is Seder, right? Now, generally, midoraisa, for tzedek to be violated, you have to have a species that's generally hunted, mino nitzo. So when you talk about zebuvin, flies, we're not really talking about tzedek doraisa. We're talking about a deer, we talk about tzedek doraisa. So it so happens, this case is not a doraisa situation. But nevertheless, it's still us in midraban. The case of the Ramah and the Taz wants to explain maybe why the tour would be makel in this case. Is a person, should he be careful not to close a drawer, a small drawer, that has flies in it? So it's inevitable, you know, if it's a big drawer, then, you know, they're not going to be trapped, because basically they can move around freely, you can't really easily trap them. But if it's a small drawer, says the Ramah, Yesh Luzar Shalu Liskor Tevok Tana Olistom Kelim Shezvuvim Bo B'Shabes Tavi Psik Reisha Sheyatsudusham. If it's a small drawer, then it's a psik resha, and it should be a problem. Yesh mekilin, he says, because it's, as soon as you open it, they'll run away. You won't be able to grab them. Maybe it's not really a psik resha. But the first tzad says it should be us. The Taz comes with his chidush, and he tries to perhaps work as one of the reasons why the tour is matir. The Ramah quoted the tour, but the Taz adds this element and says lahalacha. He thinks it should be fine. He says, you know why it's not a psik resha? He says, you do what you could, you check superficially that there are no bugs in the drawer, no flies in the drawer. You don't have to check that much, you just check. As far as you see, there's no bugs. Go ahead, do what you're doing. You're doing simply an act of closing the drawer. What do you ask? What's the question? Psik resha. It's inevitable that somebody's going to get trapped. He says, no. I don't know if there are flies. Maybe there are no flies. Maybe there isn't any zvuv in there. Therefore, it's not a psik resha. Because it's not inevitable. It's possible that it's not there. What makes this unusual, this case of the Taz psik resha? That it's not a psik resha. The issue is not that it's not inevitable that it will come about based on some factor in the future. What makes it not inevitable is the fact that there's some pre-existing condition that may or may not be there. And I'm not aware of that pre-existing condition. Maybe there are no flies, and that's why he wants to say it's not a psik resha, it's davar she'en miskaven. Why is davar she'en miskaven? Because it's possible that there won't be a melach of seder. Why not? Because maybe there are no flies in the dvor right now. But usually, hang on, but usually when we say something is not a psik resha, we say it's possible that the malacha will not result later on because it's totally in some event or some occurrence or some factor that has not yet unfolded. That's usually when you want to differentiate psik resha versus animus gavin, you say psik resha, it's inevitable that as everything stands right now, the malacha will result from what the maisa you're doing right now. To say it's not a psik resha would say that no, some factor in the future will affect the result in such a way that it won't happen. The Taz is saying, in other words, I want to come back to in the case of Gray, but let's assume, in other words, maybe the malacha of Chavisha will or not occur. I don't know. When I slept the kisa, so it's ena miskavi. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. So that's a grace, that's not inevitable. Could be not. So it's ena miskavi, it's not psik resha. Here, what you have is everything that's going to contribute to the malacha is here already. If there's malacha, it's because there's a zvuv here. If there is no fly, then it's not going to be a malacha. The only thing is, I don't know. I don't know that fact. But if, in fact, there is a fly in the dvor, then my maisa that I'm doing is what? It's in fact a maisa that inevitably causes seder. That's psik resha. The only thing is, it's not clear, the pre-existing state is not clear whether there's a zvuv there. So what should we call this? A ena miskaven as opposed to psik resha, or what? What rather should it be called? A suffix of psik resha. It's a suffix. We don't know. That has to be determined. Tain is the bir halacha on the Taz. This is not exactly a good answer why it's not a psik resha. The Taz was machadesh kishem shehechad mesafka lanim yasa yisrael lo amina davashen miskaven muter l'rav shimin kigom begveres mita v'kisa v'saf. So it's misupik whether yisrael will occur, because why? The suffik im yasa charitz al yidei agreira, so too hechad mesafka lanim yesh yisrael b'hamayse she'osa. Is there an iser happening in this act? And he's not miskaving to the iser. It's also part of the same heter of Rav Shimon. Therefore, muta b'nilas ateva shem ein ba'at ezvuvin. Says to be halacha. That's not a good analogy. Ulei dvarav hasfar lihifuch. Because im ha iser yaseh bevadai aydei hamaiseh. This act, for sure, would bring seda, water to be flies here. The suffix is if there's an issa, if there's something that's being trapped. Havelei sveka doraisa. Here won't be doraisa, he goes on to say it's drabanan. But it should be a suffix in if this maisa is asa ramuta. Because if it's in fact a psikresha based on pre-existing state, then it's asa. But if there's no pre-existing state that dictates the psikresha, so it's not asa. So this act is either asa ramuta. Suffix. So the raisa l'chumro l'drabban l'kula. But don't call it ena miskaven. Ena miskaven versus psikresha means that the factor that's going to say, make it inevitable is something that hasn't yet come into existence. It's totally in the future. Not some factor in the past that I at this point don't know about. If I don't know about it, that's a suffix iser. So if it's the raisa problem, Isa deraisa and suffix deraisa b'chumra, not ena miskaven. But if it's a question that it might not result based on something in the future, that's called ena miskaven versus psik resha.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, what was the difference between
the suffix psik resha and the davar she'en miskaven? But, like, I think we covered. So that's the point. In other words, ena miskaven is not is the pshat. It's not a psik resha period. Why is it psik resha period? Because it's not. Secretion, you cut off the neck, for sure it's going to die. Here, you do this maisa, it doesn't automatically mean it's going to lead to a malacha. That's ena miskaven. Here, I don't know fully all the information about the situation. I don't know everything I need to know. But if indeed the fly is here, then you did seder in this act. It is a psik ratio. It's just that I'm not sure if it's a psik ratio. Because I don't know, therefore I don't have kavanah. But that's not eno miskaven. That's a suffix. If it is a psik ratio, it's based on the avar, not based on the us. The bihalacha says that who's on my side? Rabbi Kiva Eger. Nikur Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yerodea Peizayin. Hilchus Bas Vachalov on the comment of the Ramah there. The case of the Ramah is a person is stoking a fire of a non-Jew, and this on this fire, right, may have been there's a pot, and it may have been cooked in it basar and chalav, and by stoking the fire in some way, you might be violating the iser of mevashel basar v'chalav, which is allowed by itself, not just iser achilas basar v'chalav, but levashel basar v'chalav. Says Rabbi Kivega, but you're not mechavein to mevashel basar v'chalav, just mechavein whatever it is, you're mechata, but you're not intending to do bishul basar v'chalav. So let it be eino miskaven. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, and what are you going to say? And it's not a psik resha, because who is it? You can tell me eino miskaven, but it's psik resha, isn't it? Right? Because it's inevitable you're going to be causing bishul basar v'chalav. No, it's not inevitable, because who knows for sure that it was cooked once with basar v'chalav? Maybe yes, maybe not. It's not 100% clear that that was the case. So it should be eino miskaven, not psik resha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, no. If in fact it was cooked basar and chalav, which is I don't know, then it is a psik resha. So it's a suffix, though, right? It's a suffix whether I can do this act. Because when do I say eino miskaven? Is it the kiveg here? If there's a yodei aleph, be the lashon kiveg here. When do you say eino miskaven versus psik resha? If it's totally in the haba, in some variable, some factor. Thank you. Some factor that has not yet come into existence yet. Masha Enkin over here, it's just that I don't have the facts. But whatever those facts are, should it be X, then I have here a full-fledged Maisa Easter. Because it's psikration. On the tzad that it was cooked by Svachalaf here. That's not a miskavin. That is psikration. It's a suffix Easter. What makes it a suffix Easter? Because it's only us if it's a psikration. But it could be it's a psikration. Because of the pre-existing state, that may be that it was cooked by Sivachalot. That's exactly what the Yochas Mitzayin from Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's a very interesting thing, issue, in other words. How do you define Eino Miskaven versus Tzikration? Is it Daska something that's totally in the past, in the future, that says it's Eino Miskaven versus Tzikration, or can it also relate to a suffix in terms of the past? The Ramah says, "Yeshom dasol chadas ha'esh kasheli ha'enam achavim avashel ragachtos ba'esh uptik reisha rohavi the shemel lo bishel ha'oy v'kochavim ba'agdei rabasa v'gam chola v'tzarech loma the dafka b'safik de lahava shemel lo yehi nase kein ha'mais b'maisa shelo. That's called enam iskavin as opposed to psik reisha. If it's a safik lahava that the yisa won't happen. Kimo gora kisei v'safso." Davi suffix shema begrei raso lo yaseguma. Aber the suffix the other kmo hacha in yesh bekdeira berua basar v'chalav. If there is a bria basar v'chalav in this kdeira, then once you're stoking it, you are in fact cooking basar v'chalav. The chitu is there. Bavadi is bashal. El da suffix shema im bo bria basar v'chalav in this kdeira. The mikri v'sikresh. Or at least on tzad asa. It could be that you have your nisik in what you're doing. Yeah.
Referring
to the Tzad HaShem, isn't that just shoging? Isn't that what Shkaga is? Partially?
I don't
know what
the
Mitzvah
is, but it is. I didn't know
what it is. No, you have to realize, you are not mechaven for closing a drawer. Shkaga, you're mechaven to what you're doing, right? You don't know what Tzchelav you ate. Or you don't know what Yisachelav. You want to eat this piece of meat in front of you. You don't know that the Torah asks it chelav, or you don't know that this is chelav. you had every intention to do exactly what you did, but there was some chisaron that you had in knowledge that makes it a shkavim. Here, it's ein miskavim. That makes ein miskavim is not shkavim. Ein miskavim, by definition, is a different situation. You are doing greira, but a result of what you're doing comes about an isur. That's the question. Is that asur or mutter? That's ein miskavim. But wait, even if you tie in the like of Shimon that it's mutter, but not in a case of psikresh, where that result is inevitable, that it will come from what you're doing. We'll touch soon more what that's about. What is psikresh make a difference? But that, so we're already out of the realm of shogeg. In other words, because you ain't a miskavin, you're not intending for that maisa, that the veira that you did. You're intending to do this veira. But if it's inevitable that harisha will result, that would be psikresh. He says, the Taz, this is not psikresh, because you're doing what? You're doing an act of closing a drawer. But the totsah, the result of tzeda, is not inevitable. Why not? Why is it inevitable in this maisa that you did? Because there may not be flies in the drawer. That's what the Taz is saying. So it goes on to Einam Eskavim. Says the Kivega, says the Bihalacha. No. What makes something Einam Eskavim versus Tzikresha? If it's not inevitable because of a future factor, not if it's not inevitable because of some pre-existing state that I'm not aware of. If it's a pre-existing state that I'm aware of, then that means that on its side that state is a certain way. I have here a Maisa Iser based on the fact that it is an inevitable consequence. It's secretion. So now it could be a suffix Iser. Not an Eino Miskaven, a suffix Iser. Because secretion, it is on certain conditions. But just, I don't know those conditions. Says the Bihalach at the end, L'chor, I have a raya to the Taz from this Mochamos. Because here the Ramban says that why is this case of Tziruf, not of Tzikresha? Because maybe Kfar Nitzraf. No. What is that? That's not future. Why is it possible that this is not an inevitable consequence, that Tziruf comes from what I'm doing? Because of the fact that it was already Nitzraf. No, but that's not totally in the future. That's totally purely in the mitzvahs of the past. So on the side that it wasn't nitzras, my act is a psikresha. So why is that an einam miskavin? That's a suffix psikresha. That shouldn't come under einam miskavin. That's the raya he has from the Ramban. Shema lo higia letzirah v'shem schamim. Now, here's my question, Rabbi. The Ramban, what does the Bi'ah Halacha mean to bring from the Ramban? From that last point of the Ramban? What about what the Ramban says earlier, which we said was very similar to the Ran? What was the first point in the Ramban? Maybe what? Shema the Mayim inside kept the temperature of the walls of the kettle down. So what is that? Is that also chora akasha on the kivega right to the Taz? In other words, what is that? That's a kshayla in the past. No, is it?
So let's imagine.
Okay, so let's analyze this case. In other words, whatever the temperature is, the water cooled it down. Now let's imagine temperature X coming into contact, the heat, temperature X, coming with water, creates tziruf, right? Now, the question is, what is the temperature based on the fact that the water was in the kettle? Did it go below temperature X? Did it dip below temperature X? Or is it still at temperature X or above? So it's possible that it dipped below temperature X, in which case, tziruf will not result. Maybe the water cooled it to that degree, or maybe not. Maybe the water cooled it, but it's still above temperature X, so tziruv does result. So then it's very similar to the last possibility of the Ramban. It's all function of the past. No? So then the raya could be a raya not just from the end of the Ramban, but from the first part as well, and which is what the Ran seems to be saying. In other words, what is the question? How cool is it now as a result of the interaction with the water that was in it. It's not a psik resha, because maybe the water cooled it down below the threshold that tziruv can result. Is that the pshat? Yeah.
He does quote both. He says, like the next thing, like they're interconnected. Sort of.
So you're saying it sounds as if his rai is from both cases.
It's unclear, but it seems to be putting them together for some reason. We're not sure if it's one or two.
Now, do you agree though that the rai should be just as much of a compelling rai from the first part of the Ramban? Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you can say it's parallel to the case of dragging the because you don't know. So you can say you can weigh how much the bench is. You can determine how the ground is.
So you're asking something very interesting. So let's take what you're saying. So let me ask the following question of both sides. If you tell me that Einam Miskavim Psik Reisha is totally only in the future, anything that's totally in the pre-existing state, that's the Suffolk Issa. That's not Einam Miskavim. So let's argue that how come Gereira is called Einam Miskavim? L'chor, what are the factors? The factors are how soft the ground, how heavy the furniture. No? I mean, you didn't do a test beforehand, so you're just schlepping the chair, and you didn't test the ground, you didn't test the thing, so it could be that it will cause a charitz, it could be it won't. But why is that in Miskavim? Everything should be ready to find. Everything is in the hopper. No? Let's figure out. If the weight of the chair is X, and that interacts, that put a formula into this. You know, the weight of the chair as per the softness of the ground, result equals charitz. But if the weight is more and the ground is softer, then the charitz is inevitable. But if the weight of the chair, the furniture is lighter, and the ground is harder, then equals no charitz. So what's in Miskavim? Everything is predetermined. The subject is. So you answered the question. No. What's the answer? So why is that in Miskavim? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Isn't it also totally in the way you pull it? I mean,
I think the question answer has to be exactly what you're saying. It's not just a function. Of course, it's totally in to some degree the earth, how soft, how hard, and how heavy. But there's even separate from that, there's a whole other factor that's totally unknown, that's totally in the future. How do you schlep it? How much physical exertion do you put as you schlep? And that's going to determine whether the charitz results. Right, so that's clearly l'habba. That's a fact of l'habba. That's what makes it in the Miskavim, 100%. You can't just say it's all been determined already, we just don't know. It's more than that. It's takatoli in the future. So now the question is, what does the Ran mean and the Ramban mean in that first teretz? When they say that this water, right, cooled down the heat, therefore the tziruf is not inevitable. Do they mean that the only thing that really is going to determine whether tziruf will result is what exactly is that temperature? Right? After the fact that you had the water and the water was now taken out. If it's certain temperature, then the water will cause tziruf, and if it's something less than that, then it won't. Then l'chora, everything is totally in the past. And it's the same thing as the second test of the Ramban. But is it just that? Maybe what the Ran and the Ramban are saying is that you have a situation of a mecham that had water in it. Now, it's not a psik resha that tziruf will result. Why? Because since by nature the water brings down the temperature, now at that temperature of heat with the water, it could result in tziruf or it might not result in tziruf. What will that depend on? The nature of the pouring of the water, how you pour it, that also will affect. You can pour it strong, you can pour it soft, just like you can carry different ways. It's not as if, sometimes tziruf will happen, sometimes it won't. It's not purely a function just of the equation that we can set up in advance. Is it above this threshold of heat or below? It's totally in some factor in the maisa tziruf itself. In other words, you could have a situation where it's so hot that no matter how I pour the water, it's going to be mitzaris. That's the secretion. Says the Ramban, but no, when you have a mecham with water, the water brings down the heat. And therefore, the heat that exists after there's water in the mechan is heat that will not automatically result in siruf when I pour water. It could not. What will determine? Maybe the nature of the ma'aseh siruf itself, of the pouring of the water. It may or may not be. So that's mamish tali in the future. So that's like similar to the chavitz of and the gerera.
There's only one way to do it. In other words, we said you can't pour it in a little bit at a time because then that'll be like bishul. So
right.
We said you have to pour it all at one time for it to happen in the first place.
Correct.
So
yeah.
So,
if the
mice can only be done
yeah,
one way,
is that all there is in terms of a mice pouring?
You said you have to pour it as much as you
no,
can.
No, maybe I don't know. Maybe well, slow quicker. He's saying you can't do it too. You can't. Well, slow quicker. You can't do it too slow.
You have to do it as fast as you can.
No or nothing. You have to do it as fast as you can.
Well, that was
how cold the water is. Also true. Another point. But I think even with what you're saying, that's all there is. There's two options. You can pour it fast, you can pour it. I mean, you could as long as it's not slow, drip, drip. And then it could be different ways. You know, maybe the way it's coming down, maybe the height. I don't know what kind of factors could go into it. In other words, no two situations are identical. Even the temperature. The point I'm saying is this: the temperature could be X after the water, and sometimes see if it results, sometimes it won't. It's not locked in, and therefore that is not. That's totally gahaba. That's totally gahab. So then, the only raya that the Vilacha would be able to bring from the Ramban is what he says at the end, which is the case where Ramban says Shema Kfar Nitzra. So that seems to say that it's in a miskavein because of the possibility that it was already Nitzra. That's totally purely in the past. But the case before, that's totally in the future as well. Now, the only thing is, this is where I started with, the Lashon of the Ramban versus that of the Ran. Right? The Ran puts it, Efshar what? Shelo yagia l'tziruf. It won't reach, it won't arrive at tziruf. Right, that clearly fits very nicely with what we just said. In other words, lo yagia l'tziruf, in other words, because the water brought it down, it may not reach. It might may not reach tziruf later on. It may not. Right, that's a question, open question. Ena miskavei. The lashon of the Ramban though was what? Shema lo higia l'tziruf. Apish nischam harbe shemaim hayuba manema. In other words, what's the question? If I read literally, shehigia, in other words, there is this temperature that when it interacts with water, right, above that temperature above will reach at zero. Below that temperature will not. What's our question? How much did the water bring down the temperature that was in it? Right, it was eschan maharbe, but shem below, maybe it was not higia at zero because the water brought it down below that threshold. So then that would suggest exactly similar to the second answer of the Ramban. It's really, the only thing we're really looking at is the question of the pre-existing state. I don't know how much to make of that diuk, right? They sound like they're saying the same thing, but upon closer inspection, the Ramban uses a slightly different lashon, higia. And the Ran uses shemel efshelo yagia. I think maybe that would be the nafka mina. What is the suffix that we're talking about? Is the suffix in the sha'ava? Or is it a suffix in the Lahabba? The second test in Ramban is no two ways about it. The second test is Shema Kfar Nitzra. Yep.
How is pouring water different than pouring into the Lahabba?
Because you could pour different ways, and therefore, you know.
It all depends on. What I understand, dragging the bench, you're pulling.
You're exerting certain type of.
Pouring, how is that?
Maybe the angle. I don't know. What say? Help me out. No. What could be the?
How much water is there at one time?
How much water you're pouring at one time?
This amount in 1 second, and then pour. It's like making a cake. You know, every time you put the exact same ingredients in, you're never going to get the same exact cake.
Yeah, but then you have to define why that is. Yeah, see, he's saying that to the extent that it's totally right. So we're trying to say it's not locked in. It's not going to be.
Right.
Why isn't that locked? Why,
yeah,
is
no,
it totally why isn't
out.
That locked in?
It could.
Sounds
that's
like
how cold it is.
So they're saying you could pour the way that the water hits it, the angle that it hits it. I don't know. I'm thinking. I'm with you.
It sounds like a fact. I don't know. It sounds like
that. Water. You could pour it. You can empty it 5 seconds or 10 seconds.
Saying this.
As long as it's not over a minute and a half, so it's going to be drip by drip by drip. It's going to be different.
Even if it was really, really, even if the water wasn't Monet, so the actual.
No, the water is Monet. The point is, the water brought it down to see if it was in the. No. The water brought it down to such a window that, therefore, Tziruf could or could not result. Sometimes, now with this temperature that you have after the water is in it, so out of it's not going to be 10 out of 10 that's going to be Tziruf. There'll be times yes, there'll be times no. That's the worst.
Depending
on some of these other factors that Allah have booked.
But you say that it is not this window temperature, that it really is either or, then it would be.
No, then it'll be secretion. Or then, we're trying to say it's not secretion. So it's enam miskavi. Enam miskavi means that it's possible that's mitzaris, but it's not inevitable. But we're trying to say that the factor that determines whether it's vadai or not is not, it's not the existing condition that we just don't know about. It's somehow also totally in some manner in which the Seeruf is done. That's what I'm trying to guess what the factors are. I leave it to you to think about. I don't know exactly what you say. Yeah.
But say that you could also have a future consideration of maybe there's a hole in it or tilted to the side so it could come out.
No. The door is closed. I mean, like, you know, there is the point. Sorry, that's not, doesn't seem to be. And if the hole is also pre-existing, in other words, if there's a hole in the door, I mean.
No.
But the question is, is the issue just totally in what is now or what's going to be later?
It depends on the person's act.
But the way you close it. No, you're assuming you close it. I mean, you're closing the door. Now let's for the etzem svara here of the Taz versus the Kivegir. Like, what's really at work? In other words, what are two sides of this question? Why does the Taz feel that you can view this as enam miskavin? Even if the reason why it's not sikresha, the reason why it's not vada is based on what was in the past, and as the Ramban seems to suggest as well. And why does the Kiveger and Bir Halacha, why they argue the other way? That chora, it's a suffik iser. It's not an enam miskavin. It's a suffik iser. I think that this, you know, right away opens up the Indian a little bit of, to get more into this, obviously, of Psik Reisha and the Miskavin. There's a lot to say about why, for example, if Shimon is Matir and the Miskavin. Start with that. What's the reason? It's possible. No. We'll see. But in other words, it's possible that the Malacha can come. So just because I was Mechavin for Greira, so did I not do Harisha? Why am I not Chayiv? Why is it mutter? I mean, did I not do Harisha? Yes. So that itself can be seen in different ways. One way to see it is a maisa that I do without kavana is not my maisa. Such a svar. If I didn't have the awareness of that act, it was like it was done by itself. Maybe.
Then why would
see. In a second. You're right. In both of them. Or, another way to think about it. The issue we're talking about now is not totally in this chakira. It's going to be totally in the next level. Situation. Just time to throw out a svar. Ain't a miskavin. What's the problem? Not that it's not my maisa. But what did I do? What's the maisa that I did? Did I do a maisa harisha? The maisa is defined by the das of the person. What he intended to do. If his intention was to schlep furniture, not to make not to plow the ground, then this is a maisa greir, not a maisa chavish, not a maisa malach of chorish, because the maisa is defined as per the kavan of the person. So this is not malach of chorish; it's greir that occurred here. Okay, two different ways to understand perhaps enam miskavin. What does psik reisha do? Why does Rav Shimon say psik reisha amoda? What? So. One way, let's take the first approach. It's done without kavana. So, what's psik reisha? Psik reisha could say, if it's inevitable that will come out of what you're doing, then what do you mean you didn't have kavana? If you know, after all, by enam miskavin, you do know that it's possible that Chavisha could come, right? The answer is, you're not intending that. You're intending Tishlef. You're not intending Chavisha. You're intending Veris. But if it's inevitable, seek grace, then obviously you have Kavanah for that too. You have Kavanah for the Maisa you're doing and for whatever is resulting, because it's natural. It's a natural consequence. So that's part of you are Mechavin. You can't hide that. You can't make believe you're not Mechavin. You're Mechavin for that, because you know that that leads to that. If it's not for sure, then you could say, I'm not Mechavin for that. That, who knows if that's going to happen? No, forget what I was talking to, whatever. We'll get to that in a second. Now, this stam. In other words, let's assume you're, in order to be chayiv, we're saying you have to have kavanah. So it could be, remember, Shimon is not in Shabbos dafka. Shimon is kol Torah kula. So what the makor is another question. Where does it come from that if enim is kavan, you're not chayiv? Why is it mutter? The makor is itself a question of Shimon. But it's not just the Shabbos. If it's a mice without kavanah, so one or the other. Either it's not your maisa, or the maisa is defined by the kavanah that you had, and therefore if you don't have kavanah for that result that comes, then the maisa is not defined as that act, it's defined as the act that you did have kavanah for. Either of those two tzedakot can now work with saying that psik resha removes that barrier, because psik resha means you did have kavanah. Either tzad that was just presented in miskavin can lend itself to the pshat now, that psik resha says that if you know that it's certain that this will come, so you did have kavanah. So therefore, the maisa of chavisha did happen through you. You did it. Or the maisa is defined, in fact, as a maisa chavisha. Why? Because you knew about chavisha, because it's inevitable. So you did have kavanah. It's kimachave. Now that is something that we see in many Rishonim, such a lashon, that psik resha is kimachave. But there's another way to think about psik resha. Not that because it's inevitable, therefore you have kavanah for that other maisa too. No, you didn't. You have kavanah for greater, not for the other thing. The teretz is, but if it's a chain reaction that's inevitable, that from chavisha would come, from greater would come chavisha, if that's inevitable, then having the kavanah for greira is within that maisa greira. You have chavisha, so you have kavanah for every. It's one maisa. It lies within the same definition. You don't have to have kavanah for the chavisha, because since within the maisa greira is the inevitable consequence of chavisha, that's all part of the same maisa. So therefore, according to the tzaddat, you have to have kavanah. So you have kavanah for that maisa, because that maisa of chavisha lies within the maisa of greira. So you have kavanah for greira. So you have kavanah for chavisha, for that maisa. According to the other tzaddat, we say in the miskavet that the maisa is defined as that which you have kavanah for. Yeah, but you have kavanah for that maisa, but that is a maisa chavisha. Any maisa that from that it has to be the other thing is going to result. That is therefore that lies within the definition of the first maisa. A act of gevura would be called chavisha. This is a chakira that Rav Chanan poses in Ksuvis to try to understand some other issue when it gets psik resha. He doesn't start with the first chakira that we started in a miskavin. He just goes right to psik resha. He says psik resha could be one of two things. Either that if it's a psik resha, it's kimachavin. If I know it's going to happen, then I'm a chavin for that. One way. Or psik resha means that it's chad maisa. It's that which I'm a chavin for. So the other thing that has to for sure result from it, that lies within the maisa that I did, that I did have kavanah for. So it's one thing. It's one act. No. This chakira, al-chora, can help us very well over here. Because let's understand, what do you have here? You have a situation where I'm doing a maisa of closing a drawer, let's say. Now, there may or may not be flies in the drawer. The question is not totally in the future, but it's totally in the past, which I don't know about. Now, if the issue of psik resha is one of kavanah, so now, psik resha means I was machaving for the other thing because I know it's going to happen. What are you going to tell me? It's all set up. It's all locked in. If there's a fly there, then it's inevitable. Yeah, but you can't tell me I'm a chavein for tzedek. I don't know that it's there. So it doesn't matter whether the uncertainty is something that hasn't yet come into being, or it's an uncertainty based on not knowing the facts of the pre-existing situation. Either way, you can't argue that Psik Resha has now given me, you know, that I had kavana for the Maisa Issa. I don't, because I don't know. So I'm a chavein for X, not for Y. And I don't know that Y is going to happen. Why not? Either because it might not happen based on something in the future, or because it might not be happening now, because it may not have what it takes for this to be an Avera. So either way, again, I'm doing X. I'm doing closing a drawer. I'm not doing Elamai. I'm a chavein for tzeda. No, I'm not. I don't know that there are any flies there. So the fact that it's in the test should not take away the same consideration. It's not psikresha. Psikresha is only when you can tell me I'm a chavin for the other thing. If I don't know, then it's not, then I'm not machavin. I can't be machavin for that other thing if I don't know that it for sure it lies in what I'm doing. So I'm doing X, I'm not doing Y. I don't know that Y is going to result. Only if it's inevitable and I know about it. It's not just the future, it's even the past. That's what the Rabban can say. That not the possibility that it was nitzvah already, or if we argue the first tenets of the Rambam is also along those lines, a possibility that it's below the temperature that it takes to tzirus. So the fact is, I'm not machavin to tzirus because it's not inevitable, because I don't know for sure that in fact it reached that level of tzirus, that any tzirus is happening there. I don't know for sure, no matter why, because it's the future, because of the past, I'm not machavin. However, if we would understand the other way, that the Mailab situation is not to say that I'm a chavin because I know that it's going to happen, therefore I'm a chavin for the other thing. The Mailab situation is I'm a chavin for X, what I'm doing. But within Maisa X, you have already the other thing. Because it's a chain reaction, because in fact, X inevitably brings Y. And therefore the kavana for X is already kavana for Y, or with the mice is defined as mice of Y, because it all lies within mice X. Either way you go. But it's one mice. So then, Chora, what says it's, when is it not psikresha? It's not one mice, because it's not inevitable that this will lead to that. It's not one mice. You could do this mice, and it could, yes, or maybe not lead to the other. But if the question is only in the past, in other words, it's based on a certain given situation. You have this act you're doing is in fact lies within that, the malacha, the avera. So then you have here mamish kavana for that maisa avera. Because you had a kavana for the maisa that you did, which within that maisa you have the other maisa. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know whether the fly is there. I don't know whether it's been nitzvah already, but if it hasn't been nitzvah, then what you're doing inevitably is tzivus, and your kavana is to what you're doing, but that lies within that ma'aser you're doing, lies the malacha. So it's a suffix iser. It's not an inner miskavin. Inner miskavin has to say that based on what you're doing, it's not inevitable that the malacha will result, because it could be factors in the future will determine that whether it results. If it's not, you can't tell me that within this mice there lies already the other. However, if it's in the past, and on the side that the state, the pre-existing situation is what it is, then you have here mamish and avera, because psikresha makes it chad mice. So now you have a malacha. Elmai, I don't know. Safik yisur. This would be very nice in terms of lining up the shittas. Whether it's true or not is another question. But in terms of at least lufum riata, to look at it for the first time, this l'choru could be a very nice way to break it down. Now, here already, I think it's Chaim, forget your name. Reuben. Brought in the question, Lachas Machshevet. Here I saw something very interesting, that a few gedolim all machavet to the same thing. This is Zalman, Evna Azel, Perek Aleph, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Minchas Shlomo on this halacha, and Rav Shmuel Rizavsky and Shurman Pesachim, all come up with the following formulation, that maybe this issue of how you view it, whether you have to say Psik Resha makes it Kimachave, or it's sufficient to say just simply that it's Chad Meisen, it's enough with that, that could break down between Kol HaTorah Kula and Shabbos. In other words, that when it comes to Kol HaTorah Kula, all you need for Psik Resha would be that it's Chad Meisen, as long as it's inevitable that that it can result, then you know that doesn't matter. In other words, that is Psik Resha. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But as long as it's never based on what's going to be in the future, on the tzad that you have what you have in this situation, that's called Psik Resha. That's called Torah Kula. I don't know. That doesn't matter. By Shabbos, perhaps, is a higher standard. By Shabbos, because it didn't lechesh machsheves, then if I don't know, then sufko, you could tell me now till tomorrow, it's chad mais, right? On the tzad that you have the flies, it's tzeda. But if I don't know, I can't be, I'm not machaving for tzeda, for the malach of tzeda. Understand, but it could be that, in other words, it follows. In other words, what they're gaining by saying this is that the Ramah spoke by Basav HaChalav. And if by Basav HaChalav, the Ramah would be right, with Kiveg would be right, that it's, if it's totally in the future, then it's called Enam Eskavin. If it's totally in the past, was Basav HaChalav cooked here? Is there Bliya Basav HaChalav in this pot? So then we say, that's not going to be enough to Enam Eskavin. Because if Basav HaChalav were cooked, then I have here Maisa of Psik Resha. So it's a Suffolk Easter. That's the Ramah of Basav HaChalav. But when it comes to the Taz, or the Ramban for that matter, talking Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos, even a Psik Resha Hilchas a Psik Resha Hilchas Shabbos, a Suffolk Psik Resha Hilchas Shabbos, takes away from Psik Resha. And therefore says that, you don't have here the Kavanah that you need. You're timing like this. You're saying that maybe even if it's Chad Maisa, but you have the Kavanah for this, that's enough. But you have Kavanah for the other thing. It could be that there's a higher standard. Here you have to have Kavanah Mamish for the Malacha itself.
But you come right, you are having Kavanah.
Yeah, but not exactly. Not exactly.
It's a
Lashon. It's a Lashon of what?
None of the entire, there's different, by other Kavanah, there's different types of Kavanah. In other words, a higher level of Kavanah.
The higher level Kavanah.
In other words, you have Kavanah, but it doesn't reach the standard.
You know, you have to intend to do the Maisa Malacha, not the Maisa that happens to be within that lies the other Maisa. It could be you have to have Kavanah directly for the Maisa Malacha itself. Like another level. In other words, so the fact that you don't know for sure you're doing a malacha, that might still be a chesaron by Shabbos. Which means, in other words, that the Taz can still accept the Ramah's psak in Yerodea. Because the Eger's point is well taken for the Ramah, because that's the rest of the Torah. By Kol HaTorah Kula, then we say that the Psik Resha and the Suffolk Resha, that Tolil Resha Avar, is insufficient to make it in a Miskavin. It's called it's called the Psik Resha, Suffolk Easter. Ashaken here by Shabbos might be different.
And we only have to say this for the second wave on the thing, right? That thing to say that there's a special heaven on Shabbos, right? First heaven applies.
Right, it could be right. This could be there's two levels. It could be right. It could be that the tzad that makes it chad ma'aseh, that's good enough for Kol HaTorah Kula. But Shabbos, you need to have the level that Yimamish Kimachavin. Right. Of course, you could always say that you're mechavin for this mice, and therefore within this mice is the other mice, you have kavanah for the other thing, but not direct. Not direct kavanah for the other thing. So maybe Shabbos has this higher standard, you have to be mechavin for the malacha itself. Okay, good. So this is more or less a bit of a taste of what's coming in Miskavin of Psik Resha, but this is a very, very, very basic issue that here emerges again from the Lashon of the Ramban, from the Teretz of the Ramban, as far as why it's not a Psik Resha, and especially the last piece of the Ramban, Shema Kvar Nitzraf, that's what the Biarocha picks on, and maybe even from the earlier part of the Ramban as well, depending on how we understand it, that even a question, Benagea, Factor Lisha Avar, will also take away from Psik Resha. Again, not a simple thing. Yeah. Okay, let's pick up now with the Tosfos here. Tosfos now is going to bring in Rashi in Yuma, Sugya in Yuma. So we really have to see the Sugya in Yuma a little bit. We start a little bit now in the Sugya. The parallel Sugya to here is that of Ashashis. Tosus now asks on Rashi, Kosh the Hacha Mashma the Betzir of Asa Rabbi Yehuda Nami Davashen Miskaven, because the Gemara is saying that this is a Tzir of Asa Miskaven. Rav Shimon would be Matir, Rav Yehuda with Asa. Uperk Amalem Amuna Goris Rashi Hananu Doraisa V'Lacha Tzir of Rabbana. Let's take a look at that whole sugya now. Let's start with that Gemara and we'll see how Rashi learned the Gemara. The Mishnah in Yuma talks about what used to happen on Yom Kippur if the Kohen Gadol was very sensitive to the cold, and he had to be tovel, as we know, five times in the course of the day. So he's either older or he's an Eastonist. So they had to figure out a way that the water should not have the same kind of chill. So the Mishnah first says that they used to warm some water and pour it into the mikveh. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara quotes a braisa, a different thing that they used to do. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ashashio shel barzel hayu mechamin me'erev Yom Kippur. Umatigun etoch tzonon, kidei shetafik tzinasat. They had these strips of metal, of iron. Rashi says, chatichos avos, thick pieces of metal. They used to heat them up from before Yom Kippur, and it was therefore obviously quite hot. And then they would throw it into the cold water of the mikveh as a way of taking away some of the chill of the water. That's Rav Yehuda's description of what was done. Frekt Gemara, this method has its own problem. Not Bishul, as Tosus noted, because Bishul wouldn't occur. Obviously, there's so much water, it's not going to cook any water. But V'halom Mitzareth, Nosim Barzom Eno Eishu Mai Mitzarfo Mechazko Makshehu. In other words, the water is acting on the metal and causing the melacha of tziruf. Again, we're assuming now tziruf is the melacha of makad bepatish, and this is obviously a problem, right? Chora, how can you do this? Himitzarif. So we have two answers given in the Gemara. Omer of Bibi, the first answer, shelo higia letziruf. What do you mean shelo higia letziruf? So Rashi says, "Kfar yomitzunan b'miksas." It was already a little bit cooled off. It wasn't as hot. Even though they put it under these coals that were kind of embers, still not that hot that the water would give it chizuk that is necessary for tziruf. So it simply was not on that temperature. Lo higia letziruf. So therefore, no problem. It was not higia letziruf. Now, right away, you should ask yourself the question, even when the Gemara says V'lo Mitzarif, what question should instantly come into our minds? This kasha of the Gemara, V'lo Mitzarif. Is the Gemara mean for sure, Sikresha Mitzarif? Or does the Gemara mean that it's possible that it's Mitzarif? What's the Pshat in the Gemara? Just like over here in our Gemara, right, we had this whole discussion, what the Gemara, V'lo, the same words, V'lo Mitzarif. And here the Rishonim are all pointing out, it's got to mean that it's Shem, because after all, Shem is mother of the Sikresha. The only exception is the Ravid, who had his own Pshat. So here as well, we have to consider this issue. What does the Gemara mean? For sure, or just that it's possible? Now, here comes Abaye. Abaye gives the answer, Filu Temashi Gilet Sirus. No, you don't have to say that. For a Bibi, it simply would mean that there's no possibility either of Sirus, you could say. So go Gilet Sirus, there's no way, there's no problem, no possibility at all. Abaye says, no, it was Higia Letziruf, which could mean Vadai, or could mean Safik. But meanwhile, Davash Enem Eskavin Mutter. But the answer is, it's Davash Enem Eskavin. Now, again, if assuming it's a Psik Resha, then what's Abaye saying? It's a Psik Resha, Davash Enem Eskavin Mutter, but it's Psik Resha. So this is again the big question. What's the Pshat here? So maybe it only means it's only a Safik. So therefore, it's not Vade, but we'll see how this is going to play out in the next piece of Gemara. So this is the Abaye's answer. Eina miskavi. Frag the Gemara. What's the kashin? Umi amar Abaye hachi. Did Abaye say what he said? That the reason why it's not a problem of tziur physical zevajim miskavein v'hasanya. Now the Gemara quotes a Gemara that's later on Kuf Lamed Gimel Shabbos. The Braisa teaches us, Bisar Ogoso. It says Vayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Olasa. That's the pasuk in Parashas Tazria. So why does it say besar arla? So the flesh of the arla, yishomal. We darshin afil b'makim sheyesham b'heres yakus stivri of Yoshia. The lashon basar is associated with the parsha of tzaras, as it says many times there, on the flesh will be the tzaras. The pasuk is teaching you that if you have a nega on the makom of the arla, and that we know there's a lav of tzitzas baheres, you're not allowed to remove the baheres. Hisham benega tzaras. We learn out that means a lav of tzitzas baheres. That nevertheless, the Torah is mechadesh that you may in fact do the avera of tzitzas baheres for the sake of the mitzvah of milah. Krolam. So that's what it says. That's what the drasha says. V'havinan ba. And on this, we had a question. Is the sugya on Daf Kuf Amud Gimel? The Gemara is now quoting that sugya over here. And we asked Krolam Ali. What does the Gemara mean? What's the kasha Krolam Ali? Krolam Ali. What is the pasuk? In other words, what does the Gemara mean to ask? So that's it. Davish ein miskavi. See. And here the Gemara doesn't quote the whole question. If you look on Kufam Gimel and Shabbos, you'll see. That's what the kash is. Omar right. Marit says in the Gemara, Basa b'shaleishan b'ahes yamul divev yoshi. Halam likra, davar shein miskavin hu, davar shein miskavin muter. That's the Gemara's kash. Kra lamali. In other words, what do you need a pasuk to tell me that you can do this? It's obviously muter because you're not intending to do the sisus b'ahes. So Abaye responds, and Abaye said that the Amar Abaye of Yehuda, the Amar Davshin Miskavin us. That was Abaye's answer to the question. That's the Sugya of Gimel. Amar Abaye lo nitzvah el Rav Yehuda, the Amar Davshin Miskavin us. That means that the Abaye understood Pshat in the Braisa and why the pasuk is needed to tell me that you can do Mila even though in so doing you remove the Baharis, because it follows of Yehuda, who says that it would be Aser otherwise, even though you're not Mechavin Lekach, because Nevi Shem is Gavin Aser. Therefore, the Pasuk has to tell me you can do it anyway. Now, everyone's going to ask me a question, right? Just a Segresha. Whose question is that? What? No, better. No. Wow. Both say, okay. Turn to the Kuf Lamed Gimel, please, okay? The Gemara. Okay, you have to see, okay, I see, you have to see the Gemara, okay? See, the Gemara in Yuma, just like a Tosafot quotes the Gemara, you have to see the Gemara. I have a secret for you. If the Gemara quotes another Gemara of a discussion, go see the Gemara the Gemara is quoting. Okay? No difference. The Gemara. Okay, take a look at the Kuf Lamed Gimel. Amar Abaye lo nitzvecha elu Rabbi Yehuda, right? What's the kasha is, who needs a pasuk of Yimo, B'sar Olaso, it's anyway muter, Davshin Miskavin. Abaye says, lo nitzvecha elu Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Davshin Miskavin is us, right? So we understand Pshat, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need a pasuk. Comes the Gemara, Rav Amar. What does Rav say? You don't have to only work it out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even for Rav Shimon, I understand why you need a pasuk, even though it's in a Miskavin. Rava Amar, Afilu Tim Rav Shimon, Moed Rav Shimon, B'psik Reisha, V'lo Yomus. Says Rava, this is not just Enem Eskevin, this is a P'sik Reisha. If it's a P'sik Reisha, then it would be Asayim for Rav Shimon, Midoraisa. Now you realize something, but by the way, even Rav Shimon or Rav Yehuda, by the way, something very interesting should pop into everyone's head. To say that you need a Pasuk to be matir, a Davish Enem Eskevin, which otherwise would be Asar, indicates that the Is of a Davish Enem Eskevin is on what level? This is perhaps the only Gemara that says it. No other place in Shas would you have in Furish Raya that the Iser of Dosh Miskavin from Yehuda or Psikresha for Rav Shimon for that matter is a din Doraisa. You can always say Rabban, or Yehuda Asher is the Rabban. This Gemara, the Furish, right? You need the Pasuk because otherwise it would be us. So Rav says it's not just from Yehuda, for Rav Shimon too you need a Pasuk. Psikresha, Rav Shimon is Motor. Again, meaning he's Moded, it's a Doraisa. Says the Gemara, wait a second, Abaye doesn't know that. We always quote Abaye and Rava together on this point. Va'abaye lesrei ha'isvara, va'abaye v'rav damri tarvayu. Moder Shimon B'sik Reisha V'lo Yomus. Abai and Rava are always saying this all the time. Abai and Rava both said Moder Shimon. So how come Abai only made a goal of Yehuda? Says the Gemara. Four words. Basa Deshama May Rava Savra. There was an Abaya before and Abaya after. There was a point that Abaya didn't know Shimon's Moder. There's no Chil B'sik Reisha and no B'sik Reisha. Rava enlightened him, and now Abaye is always the one who goes around saying the same thing. Abaye also realized that's true. When Abaye made Yokimta, goes of Yehuda, he was under the impression that Rav Shimon argued even by Psik Reish. What would that mean according to Rav Shimon as far as what the Pasuk is needed for? The Gemara later asks, further on the Okay? That's the Gemara here. That's what the Ravid was saying, Rav Osei, right? That the Ramban quoted. That, what about the Sugi here of Mitzareis? Isaac Reisha, says the Ravid, it's like Abaye called them Shishama Meirava. Right.
Why didn't
why didn't Gemara ask on it? That's what the Ramban asked. Right, Ramban asked. Anyway, coming back to the Sugi Yuma. So what's the Kasha of the Gemara now? So the Gemara asks on Abaye, what's the Kasha now? Abaye answered the question of how can you put the Shoshis into the water, you'll be Mitzaris. So Abaye says, even if it's Higia, let's see if it's in a Miskavin. So it's Mutter. In fact, the Gemara, what? But Abaye said that the Pshat of the Pasuk of Psarolasso, that's Matir, Ksisus Baharis, for the sake of Mila, is according to Rav Yehuda, who says, Devshin Miskavin Asur. So what's the Kasha? What's the Kasha, exactly? So who's the Kasha on, Rav Osei? How does Rashi understand? So mi amar Abaye hachi that what the davar shenu miskavin is mutter, but what did Abaye say that the pasuk is needed for Rav Yehuda, who holds him miskavin as asur? Says Rashi al masvira li Abaye the kra misayeya li Rav Yehuda mid itzrich kval mishre. That means that Abaye understood that the pasuk supports Rav Yehuda since that's why he needs the pasuk. So in other words, who's the kashan presumably? Abaye. Abaye here says davar shenu miskavin is mutter. But Abaye seems to hold, like Rav Yehuda, Davar shenu miskavin is us. That's the kasha, Abaye and Abaye.
What is,
yeah, question?
I mean, here, Abaye is explaining the braisa, which is in the name of the
Rashi. Oh, so you're asking good. You're asking L'chor, one of Tosa's questions on Rashi. In other words, who needs to ask Abaye and Abaye? I mean, how could Abaye say that shot of the Braisa, Shashu Surbarzo, is in a Miskavin Mutter. Who said this in the Braisa, after all? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the famous of Yehuda, and Miskavin is us. So Bachal makes no sense. So how could Abaye say this, and why is Gemara asking Abaye and Abaye? The Gemara should jump and say, how could Abaye say this for Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is the famous Tana that holds Davar shenu Miskavin is us. So how could it work over here? That's the problem, one of the problems Tosafot raises on Rashi. Right. There are many questions in Rashi. Let's just get through the Gemara at least this much, and then we'll have to wait for Sunday to go through, you know, the Cheshbon of the Pshat of the Gemara, according to Rashi, according to Tosafot. But this is the Kasha as Rashi understands it. The Gemara is ignoring Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda for some reason. And the Gemara asks Abaye and Abaye. Abaye says Davar shenu miskavin is mutter, and in explaining Pshat here in the procedure they did Yom Kippur, and Abaye seems to hold that the miskavin is us. Which is also strange, because Tosus quoted Gemara that Rava, his Rebbe, right, earlier part of our Tosus, that Abaye's Rebbe held Davar shenu miskavin is mutter, and Abaye stum holds like his Rebbe. And Tosus, how come he learns Pshat in the Mishnah like Rav Yehuda? Tosus, the Mishnah is mashma that way. Good. It's even more strange. And here the Gemara.
So you can answer here. Are you going to hold like, or are you saying what Rav Yehuda is saying?
Yeah, but Tosus, yes, so that's true. But here the Gemara's whole kasha, according to Rashi, was based on the fact that if Abaye makes such a pshat here, it must be he holds Amos Gavin is mutter. So how come he says over there that the Pasuk supports of Yehuda? Sounds like he holds it's Usser. But then how could he hold it's Usser if you see he holds like his Rebbe Robinson? Anyway, what is the answer? So here you have a major, major machlokas. How to understand the text of the Gemara. First of all, how to be goal race in the Gemara. How to explain the pshat based on the gears. There's two separate gears, but then you have like in between states, in between shitas, and maybe combine elements of both. So let's start with the gears we have, which is Rashi. That's all we can do, really. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili B'chol HaTorah Kula Aval Hacha Tzirft Rabbanan. There's a difference between Kol HaTorah Kula and here. What's the Pshat of the answer? So has Rashi learned B'chol HaTorah, meaning B'Isur D'Orais. When is Darash Einem Eskavein Asur B'chol HaTorah? Kigon Kotzis Baharas, Dirsi Visham Vinegat Saras, and that's an Issa we learn out, the Kotzis Baharas or Kasim Vidabra. So Bechol HaTorah for Rashi means an Issa Do Raisa. If it's an Issa Do Raisa, then Davashem Miskavin is us. Finished. Siruf Drabanan, meaning the Avera here is only an Avera Drabanan. In other words, the Makkah, the Patish that's taking place is not really a full fledged Malacha Do Raisa here. For some reason, it's only looks like I'm making a kli. Siruf is not mamish makav pasish. Sounds like we'll learn it that way. It's not really a real malach. And therefore, what's the chiddush of the Gemara's teretz? That davish and miskavein and Rabbi Yehuda is only usher by an avera under isolah. That's all the Gemara answers. Rashi says there's no other girsa. Ain't supposed to be migdash lo garsin. Has nothing to do with that. The issue is in a miskavein. And Eina Miskavein has only application for Rabbi Yehuda by an Aver D'Oraisa. So meanwhile, what do you see for Rashi? A number of chidushim. First, that Tzirus, the Malach of Tzirus, at least by the Ashashi's case, is only an Avera to Rabbanan. Right? And then more fundamentally, you have in Rashi that the whole principle, seemingly, of Darash Eina Miskavein, Rabbi Yehuda, is only said by an Issa D'Oraisa, an Issa Rabbanan. If the Issa is Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda would not asher the Einam Miskavein. Of course, here all Tosfos questions begin to set in. First of all, Siruf is only Rabbanan. Right? So how can Al-Gemar say that there'd be a problem of Siruf according to Rabbi Yehuda? And now it's Sudha. Right? Siruf is only Rabbanan. Right? One problem. And then various other questions that we'll have to get into. One other thing to keep in mind, I mean, we're going to go through the Tosfos carefully, different ways to learn the Gemara. Bli Neder, I'll have a few more Mamukomos on Sunday. Also, we have to see the Ritva here and the Ritva in Shabbos. Chor, a whole different Shita, which is, opens up this whole issue also very much. Also, okay, we'll see. We have to see more carefully the case of Ashashis. Is it Psik Resha? Is it not Psik Resha? Presumably, it's not Psik Resha, right? Right? Because otherwise, Shimon is Moda about Psik Resha. But if it's not Psik Resha, then what's the Gemara's Kasha to begin with from the case of Abaye, right? In the case of Abaye by Ksisus Beheres, what is it? It's a Psik Resha. So maybe that case is an is Asa about Psik Resha. So maybe it's not Psik Resha, maybe it's Mutter. So what was the whole Kasha? So now, any way you go, you have to figure out, cheshbin out, what would be the Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, a little bit on the Parsha, but keep your Gemara Shabbos here in front of you, because I want to highlight a Gemara later, Kuf Yud Tes. What the? Yeah, Yitzchak. Yeah. That's another consideration. It could be, that's part of what's going into it. You know, the Torah is Machadik. It could be a marker for it. By the way, Rabotai, Sunday we have Shir 11:15. I like to do something a little different before Shir, and then go into Shir right after that. So 11:15, those of you who are not in the Shir before on Sunday. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara Kuf Yud Tes in Shabbos talks about a very interesting hanhaga of two Amoraim before Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yannai. This is about 6 lines from the top. Rabbi Chanina ma'atei fikoi apanya demali shabbata. Rabbi Chanina would rope himself with a talis just toward evening on Friday and Erev Shabbos. Omar bo v'neitze v'kras Shabbos ha'malka. He would say, let us go out to greet Shabbos the queen. Rabbi Yannai lovish money. He would wear very nice clothing. B'mali Shabbata, also right before Shabbos, Va'amar Vo'ichala Vo'ichala. This Gemara obviously is a marker for the whole Indian that we call Kabbalah Shabbos in davening, right? And even the piyut that we say is part of Seder Kabbalah Shabbos, L'cha Dodi. What is L'cha Dodi? Let us go out. L'kras Shabbos, L'chu v'neilcha. This is based on the comment of Rav Chanina, Abo v'neitze. Let's go out to greet Shabbos. And then at the end of the last stanza is Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. Right? That's also, that's part of what Rav Yanai said. Rav Yanai said, Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. Now, those of you who know a little bit of history, or those of you who have ever been to Tzfat, know, if you ever see the Aris Shul in Tzfat, right, there's a sign that you'll see right next to the Aris Ashkenaz Shul. This was the place where the Arizal used to go to Mekabel Shabbos. One time, that was the edge of the city. Now it's part of, you know, pretty much the old city, but it's not the edge of the city. But one time, that was the edge of the city. That means that the way that Kabbalah Shabbos, really, the whole origin of the whole Indian of Kabbalah Shabbos and davening is based on the period of the Mekubalim in Tzfat in the 1500s. And the practice of the Arizal specifically, and then what his whole school was doing. What they used to do is mamash go out, literally, to greet Shabbos. That we'd go outdoors, ideally to the edge of the city, to the field. If not that, then at least to the patio of the shul. The chadodi, in fact, the expression, literally, let's go out. Likras kala. Likras tev zechu v'necha. In other words, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz was the machaber v'chadodi. He was part of that same group of the Mekubalim in Tzfat. He was a brother-in-law of Rav Moshe Cardivero, the Ramak, Talmud Dvora. Even the language, L'cha Dodi, is coming from Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, L'cha Dodi, Neitzei HaSadeh. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Let us go to the field, because that's what they used to do. The truth is, if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchot Shabbos, Perek Lamed, is the Rambam anywhere? Hilchot Shabbos. The Rambam learns a different pshat in this Gemara. Not that it was actually an inyan to go out physically to greet the Shabbos, and we know today, whoever heard of, right, actually going out, the Rosh Hashulchan brings us down, and it says, we never heard it, you know, in Reish Pei Aleph, we don't have this today that we go out. What do? In some way, we turn around at Bo'i V'Shalom, in other words, Ki'igu will either to face the west, where the sun is setting, or to face the door, right, hopefully one or the other, right, because that's the idea. But that's the extent of what we do. The Rambam is a different take, right? The Rambam talks about the inyan of Kavod Shabbos in Perek Lamed. He says, what is Kavod Shabbos? What goes into Kavod Shabbos? Mitzvah Adam lirchot panav yadav v'ragav b'chamin be'erev Shabbos nekfod Shabbos. First to wash, and then b'sateif b'tzitzis v'yoshev b'kovod rosh miyachel l'hakbolas p'nei ha-Shabbos kimo shehu yotzei likras ha-melech. The Rambam says that you should be misate b'tzitzis, like mamish taking Rav Chanina, sitting the kovod rosh, sitting miyachel lehakbolas pnei haShabbos, waiting for the meeting, the greeting of the Shabbos, as if you're going out to greet a king. Now, the Rambam is based b'chora on this Gemara of Chanina, but also based on another Gemara in that the Gemara quotes in that Chaf Hei Amid Beis in Shabbos, the practice of Rav Yehuda Rav Eloi on erev Shabbos. Says here in the Gemara, Kachai min hago shav yudah b'avaloi, Erev Shabbos mevin lo areva mleya chamin, v'roche itzpan av yadah v'raglav, u'mis'ateif v'yoshev v'sadinin ha-mitzuyotzin, v'domel malach Hashem tzvokos. So here you have also an image of somebody, mis'ateif v'yoshev, and the Rambam took that Gemara with Rav Chanina, and he created this image of a person who's mu'utaf, miyachel l'hakbolas pnei Shabbos. But the Rambam says, "Kimoshe hu yotze likras hamelach." That's based on, like it says, Rachanina said, "Bo v'netzu likras Shabbos hamalka." The Rambam says, "Melach." Then the Rambam quotes, "Chacham harishonim haymekapsin tamidehen erev Shabbos umisatfin ve'omrim bo v'netzu likras Shabbos hamelach." The Chachamim would gather tamidim and they would say, let us go out. L'maisa, the Rambam doesn't seem to say that there was an inyan to go out, as was, again, the practice, you know, in that period of time. But l'maisa, the Rambam says that they used to imagine themselves as if they're going out. I mean, there is a Gemara, a little bit, that's mashma, that they used to be actually running in Erev Shabbos. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, you have the story of Shimon ben Yochai, and he comes out of the cave with his son, Rav Elazar. And one of the first things that they saw when they came out of the cave, was they saw, he says, toward the bottom here, having Chazal, who sabbat, having knocked, trained, Asa, Madani Asa, Verohit Bein Ashmashas. He was running Bein Ashmashas. Anyway, either way, there's some inyan as far as anticipating Shabbos to have this image of going out to greet a king, either mamish physically to go out, or and somehow in your mind to envision yourself about to go out. And again, that's the basis of many of the themes that you have in the Seder Kabbalah Shabbos. The Brisker Rav says that this inyan you find already in Parshas Yisro for Kal Yisrael prior to Matan Torah. And he actually touches on both inyanim, both the way we're reading in the Rambam, that there's an inyan of contemplating and being miyachel, waiting, anticipating the Shabbos, and also what the physical going out. Where do you see it? So you find Vayotzi Moshe Sa'am Likras Ha'elokim in Hamachat. Moshe brought them out. So they're going out to greet the king. Kali Yisrael going out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Mekabel the Torah. But then there's something else. The inyan the Rambam is describing, the waiting, the miyachel of Moshe Shabbos, says the Brisker Rav, you also have by Matan Torah. Where? It says in the Pasuk, V'hayu nechonim l'yom ha'shlishi. They should be ready l'yom ha'shlishi. What does it mean to be ready? Hayu nechonim l'shloshes yom. So it says after in the Pasuk, al tikshu elisha. So one could have thought that the pshad is nechonim means that you have to be parush min ha'isha. In other words, the end of the pasuk is explaining the beginning of the pasuk. Hayu nechonim l'shloshes yom al tikshu elisha. Says the Biskov, that can't be the pshat. Although Rashi seems to sound explained that way, but l'chora, he has a kasha. Because you also find in Parshas Kisisa, with regard to Luchos Shnios. Luchos Shnios, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go up to Har Sinai to receive Luchos Shnios. And we read this in a Tainus, in a Tainus Tzibur, the Kriyas HaTorah. It says, Heyei Nachom Laboker. Now it's talking to Moshe. Heyei Nachom. Now, by Moshe, it couldn't mean Parush from his wife. Why? He was already was Parush from the first time. And he never, Kali Yisrael had a heter to go back to their wives. Moshe Rabbeinu had to remain separated. So by Moshe, it's got to mean something else. So that's Megale already on Parshas Yisro too. The Hayun Nechonim doesn't mean Parush Meisha, but it has its own kiyum in its own right. So what is it? Says the Biskov, it's this Rambam. It's the inyan that the Rambam describes before Shabbos. A miyachel akbalas pnei Shabbos. That means that a person has to be available, ready, miyachel, just to take in this experience. The inyan of Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina, which you have in Matan Torah, is what we have every Shabbos. It's an inyan of an encounter with the Melech, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order that the person should be ready for this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to be available, has to be, the moment that Shabbos sets in, there has to be a sense that the person is feeling that they are ready to have this meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The makor, therefore, you already find a makor for this in Matan Torah too. What made it part of the Seder of Matan Torah? What made it part of the Seder of Matan Torah was that Klal Yisrael demanded that the Torah be given to them in such a manner that Hashem should directly speak to them. When initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that I'm going to give you the Torah, so the Pesukim say, Vayom Hashem HaMoshe, Hine Anochi Bo Eilecha Ba'av Ha'anan. I'm going to come to you. Everyone there will listen as I speak to you, Moshe. Then it says, Moshe gave that message over. The next pasuk says, Moshe leich el ha'am v'kidashtam hayom u'macha. What changed? Moshe, v'yagid Moshe, divrei ha'am. What did Moshe tell Hashem? Divrei ha'am. And then Hashem says, kidashtam hayom u'macha, You need Hagbalah, Prishas, mark the mountain, separate from your wives, and so on. The answer is, says Rashi from the Mechilta, that when Moshe told Kal Yisrael, Hinei Anochi Bo Elecha, Ba'aza Anan, that Hashem is going to talk to me, and you'll just be there listening in on the side, Kal Yisrael says, no, we don't want that. We want a different way. Ritzoneinu Liros Yismalkeinu. We want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate with us directly. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu brought back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yagid Moshe Tivri Amel Hashem. So Hashem says, if that's the case, then we have to introduce a number of innovations. It's not going to be just what we originally thought. So Lecha Lo Amikidashta Mayomu Malchar. Now you have to arrange for the mitzvah of Hagbalah and Prisha. And now the Chibsu Simrosam. Now you have to change your garments, and this is also something we find by Shabbos. This is a change into nice garments before Shabbos is covered Shabbos. Chibsusim Rosim is an Indian of, like the Targum says, to change their garments, to have nice garments, and you can't you have to separate from your wives. And Hayu Nechonim LaYom HaShlishi. All of this is a function of the fact that Matan Torah is now going to have a different image. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak directly to Kal Yisrael. Memela, it has to be Hayu Nechonim. And therefore, now this is now a model for what we have every Shabbos as well. It's already obviously a tremendous inyan to recognize that the experience of Erev Shabbos is part of a kiyum as well of Shabbos. It's not just that Shabbos comes in and then you have to worry about what to do, what not to do, and Mitzvah Kiddush and the Losah says and the Malachas. But the inyan of Shabbos demands already prior to Shabbos the inyan of understanding where we're going and what's happening, and the encounter with the Kaddish Baruch Hu that Shabbos represents. That's because every Shabbos is an inyan of Kimekabel Pnei Shechina, of Likras HaMelech, and that same inyan is what you find with Kal Yisrael Matan Torah.